I'm Dan Cassidy, and this is UBS On Air's Investment Strategy Podcast Series. Turn our focus to the topic of taxation and discuss the implications and prospects of higher taxes and the various forms higher taxes may come in. Joining us for today's conversation is Investment Strategist America's Justin Waring and Total Wealth Strategist America's Ainsley Carbone of the UBS Chief Investment Office. So, Justin, Ainsley, welcome back and thank you for joining us today.
And we're here to talk about a series of reports that we have written and are writing about one of the topics that I think gets a lot of attention and angst from our clients, which is how to manage taxes. And in particular, as we enter the 2020 election season, there are lots of ideas being proposed by the candidates that are sort of expansions of government spending. And to pay for these and to manage the debt and deficit of the American system, it's looking very likely that over the long run, taxes are probably going to go higher. The issue is we probably shouldn't overreact to proposals. We should think structurally about how we can manage taxes and acknowledge that even though we don't know exactly what the changes will be, we can still take action today to help us manage the sort of the impact of higher tax rates on our own tax liabilities. So let's start with you, Ainsley. So you wrote a piece, What If Tax Rates Change? And one of the things I thought was very interesting about this is I think you did a very good job of highlighting the mechanics of how we can manage taxes on our contributions and on our distributions. And I think this has a pretty important impact for almost everyone about making decisions about deferring capital gains and income taxes into the future. And then also in retirement, using the different tax treatment of accounts to manage our tax bracket in retirement. So could you go into a little bit of depth about, let's start with contributions. So what are the mechanics of how we decide what to do with our paychecks?
Mm-hmm. So that's certainly a good point, because even though it was the report Modern Retirement Monthly, I think the topic of future tax rates is something that's going to come up regardless of where you are in your career and your life.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to the accumulation phase, that would be someone who's starting out in their career or hasn't retired yet, they're adding to their account. So they're accumulating their wealth. So when it comes to that, typically we have three types of classifications that you could have in accounts. The first one's taxable. Second one is tax deferred. The last one is tax free or tax exempt. So taxable, that's something that's taxable every year. The money that goes into that would typically be, after tax dollars. And then the tax deferred, that's something where you would be, it's like a 401k or a traditional IRA. You're saying, okay, I want to have X amount of dollars taken out of my paycheck pre-taxes. It's going to go into the account. It's going to hopefully invest and grow.
Mm-hmm.
Those taxes or those investments will be tax deferred. So what happens is then when you go and take it out in retirement, that's when you'll owe income tax on it. So you're just saying, instead of taking this compensation today, I want to put it in this account, grow, and defer the taxes till a later date. With the tax exempt or tax free, that would be like a Roth 401k or a Roth IRA. We're saying, okay, I want to put this money in with after tax dollars, grow these assets, and then later on in retirement, take the money out, and we get to take the money out tax free.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is you only end up paying taxes on the amount that you contribute, whereas with tax deferred, you end up paying taxes on the amount you contribute and the amount that it grows by. So when it comes to figuring out which one you want to contribute to, that's kind of where this question comes in, is what are future tax rates going to be?
Mm-hmm.
In reality, we have absolutely no idea what's going to happen. So what we can do is, like we've talked about in these reports, is have that flexibility. So flexibility is important to think about when we're in retirement, but as you're accumulating your wealth, I think we add to these different tax treatments naturally. We just contribute to whichever one is appropriate for us at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So for someone earlier on in their career, they would typically consider a Roth or an after-tax contribution. That would be the tax-free, tax-exempt account. And they would do that because they're saying, hey, I'm probably in my lowest tax bracket today.
Yeah.
I'll probably be earning a lot more when I retire, hopefully. I think that's what we're all kind of hoping for, to be earning more when we're retiring. So at that point, we would say, okay, well, I'm probably going to be in a higher tax rate at retirement. I'd rather pay today at the lower rate and forego having or avoid having to pay those taxes at the later date at a higher rate.
So when we're in retirement, our tax bracket is determined largely by the income we're generating off of our assets and how much we're taking out of our IRAs. So the minimum amount would be the required minimum distribution, but we can also take more than that to finance our spending. So I think what you're saying is choosing to contribute across a range of taxable accounts, tax deferred accounts, and tax exempt accounts gives us the flexibility to manage how much we take out of tax deferred accounts, which then therefore allows us to choose which tax bracket we are in retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So what rate will be applied to tax brackets or where the income thresholds are, we don't know that today. But we do know that if we have assets outside of just IRAs, we can manage that more than if we were to pile all into tax-deferred accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really important consideration for a lot of Americans. Retirement accounts are viewed as the only saving vehicle. And they certainly are very powerful. Even if your tax rate is the same in retirement as it is in your working years, that the deferral allows you to keep the assets that you would have had to give to the IRS growing in your account. And in the meantime, not being taxed, there's no tax drag within an IRA. You're not paying, if you've got dividends or interest income, you're not paying any taxes on that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, yeah, as we're in our working years, we are sort of in the back of our minds probably thinking about this already, is how do I manage my tax rate today? But I think one of the surprising takeaways from this was you shouldn't over-optimize to your current tax rate. You should really also be thinking about diversification across these types of accounts so that you have more flexibility in retirement too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I think you touched on a good point that a lot of people focus on minimizing their tax liability, but our tax liability isn't solely dictated on what the federal income tax brackets are for that year.
Yeah.
It's a lot about what our income is. So I think that's really where that flexibility lies, because I think independent of tax rates, it's helpful to have those, even independent of changes in tax rates, it's helpful to have that diversification, because let's say if we're in retirement and we have all of our near-term plan spending in a taxable account, but we get this major unexpected expense and we say, oh, okay, I don't have anything in my liquidity bucket or my liquidity strategy. I'm going to need to take risk assets from my tax-deferred accounts held in my longevity strategy. That would then create a taxable event for you. So if you had some other option, such as a Roth 401k or Roth IRA, some sort of tax exempt account, it would allow you to pay and cover those, meet those spending needs, without incurring any or without increasing your tax liability for that year.
Right. And this also, we didn't talk about it in this report, but health savings accounts, which basically are triple tax exempt.
Yeah, they're like their whole own thing.
They're the bit of the holy grail. Not taxed on the way in, not taxed on growth, and not taxed on the way out, as long as they're used for qualified medical expenses.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned sort of surprise expenses. Healthcare expenses are, of course, a major source of expenses in retirement. And we've written about that. There's a blog that I'd like to refer everyone to from November of last year, Open Enrollment and Tax-Free Growth, which talks about all of this math about being taxed on the way in, being taxed during the growing years, and then being taxed on the way out. And we compared taxable accounts, IRAs, Roth IRAs, and health savings accounts, and showed how over a 40-year time horizon, these different sort of tax treatment mechanisms could affect a portfolio that's growing at about a 5% pace.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, it's very surprising the huge impact of managing taxes. I would argue that this is one of the most important things, because not only can it have a meaningful impact on the growth of our assets in real real dollars. Mm-hmm. But it's also something that's relatively within our control. I think there are a lot of things that it would be great if they were under our control, like being able to predict where markets are going and things like that, but they just aren't. So if you could perfectly time markets, you could add value. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, we don't have a crystal ball, so we can't do that. This is something that both can have a massive impact and is within our control. The one thing that isn't in our control is the knowledge of where specific tax rates are, mm-hmm. which is why I think this initial focus on flexibility is so important, because it really does. This is one of the things that's within our control. You know, as we mentioned, this is the beginning of a series of reports that we're writing on this subject. There's a lot of very interesting math involved in assessing what might happen if specific tax rates change. So, for example, if income taxes are going to be higher in your retirement years than your tax rate today, that increases the benefit of tax deferral, but it, all things being equal, reduces the benefit of a tax-exempt account like a Roth IRA, because you're pushing more income into a higher tax bracket potentially. We'll be writing about why that might not be as big an issue as you might think, and we'll be testing our assumptions with a few examples. As I mentioned, you know, it really is the deferral, the sort of reducing the tax drag of your portfolio over time can matter as much as what the rate is going in and out of these accounts. And unfortunately, our brains are just not built for compounding calculations. And so I think it'll be really helpful for us all to sort of just walk through the mechanics and figure out sort of how much and how quickly would tax rates have to rise to make it not worth deferring income, mm-hmm. in some of these vehicles. And we'll look at that with income tax rates, capital gains rates, and then we'll also try to tackle estate taxes and wealth tax proposals. Of course, in some cases, we don't have enough detail to really kick the tires on some of these proposals, but they're very much in the news these days, and we want to sort of have an open conversation. Mm-hmm. So if anyone has any questions about these, please feel free to reach out to myself or Ainsley if there's something you want to see in a future report, or if there's a assumption that you would like to test, because this is one of these things. It's a deeply personal issue. It'll be important for us to take into account individual case studies of people that are in a more extreme situation. A lot of people may have, because of the way that they've been compensated, have a concentration in a particular type of account with a particular type of tax treatment. So we'd like to be able to stress test some of these examples against some more extreme personal mm-hmm. Situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, taxes are completely unavoidable, but by getting a better understanding of what your options are when it comes to your different types of tax treatment accounts, understanding what the implications are on the way in while the money's in there and on the way out. I think by getting that full understanding, we can better position our plans in a way that is going to allow us to have some sort of tax efficient income when we do retire.
Exactly. And I think it has important implications for asset allocation or asset location, which is what we call it when you choose a certain strategy in one account to take advantage of its tax treatment. There's lots to cover here, and there's more to come in the future.
Well, Justin Ainsley, really appreciate your time and insight. The publication cited during today's conversation is titled What If Taxes Go Higher, Part 1. So this will be an ongoing publication series on this topic. If you are a client of UBS, just reach out to your financial advisor. If you would like to receive a copy of this publication directly, the publication, of course, is available up on UBS Online Services. From the UBS On Air studio in New York City, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us.